Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by General Steel.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. President Biden drops in on Ukraine.
You're succeeding against all and every expectation except your own. We have every confidence that you're going to continue to prevail.
I'm Stephen Portnoy in Warsaw. The president's trip to Ukraine was in the planning for months, and it was a closely held secret. Only two journalists were allowed to accompany President Biden as he flew out of Washington before dawn yesterday. The White House says the Russians were notified in advance that the president would be traveling to Kyiv. Here in Warsaw, Mr. Biden is expected to meet with more Eastern European leaders and give a speech about America's enduring commitment to the Ukrainian effort.
Reverence for former President Jimmy Carter.
People should come here and appreciate the life and the contributions he made both during his presidency and after.
I'm Jim Crissel in Plains, Georgia. Hearts are heavy in this small town after word that native son, former President Jimmy Carter, is now under hospice care.
He loves Plains. He loves the people. He knows that this is a sweet place to live. We care about him. He's got friends all over the world, but the people in Plains are very special to his heart.
Jan Williams is a Carter family friend. Mr. Carter is said to be at peace, surrounded by his family, including former First Lady Rosalynn, his wife of more than 75 years.
Jimmy Carter is 98. North Korea has test-launched an intercontinental ballistic missile, followed by two short-range ballistic missiles. Ralph Kasa is a North Korea expert.
What they're trying to do is pressure us into stopping our exercises. They're very upset. You know, they thought they had a deal with President Trump, but no more military exercises.
Those joint U.S.-South Korea military exercises are conducted annually. Police in Southern California say Roman Catholic Bishop David O'Connell has been found dead in his home over the weekend.
The death is now being investigated as a homicide, and investigators have not found the gun used in the shooting. The Archbishop of Los Angeles paid tribute.
He was a peacemaker with a heart for the poor and the immigrant.
CBS's Carter Evans. Norfolk Southern Railroad CEO Alan Shaw is talking about that train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, earlier this month. Here's WKBN-TV's Stan Boney.
Shaw is pleased with the cleanup so far.
We're making a lot of progress.
He could not say, however, where the soil and liquids being collected are being shipped off to.
We're taking it to landfills that are designed to handle that type of material.
What city and state?
I don't have that information.
You don't know where they're going?
No.
Residents have reported health issues since the derailment. This is CBS News.
Business owners, General Steel can help save you thousands by owning your own custom-designed buildings. Call 888-98-STEEL or visit...
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. More wintry weather coming our way. Snow expected to start Tuesday night into Wednesday before warmer temperatures turn it back to rain for southern Wisconsin. As the storm moves west to east across the state, snowfall will continue through Thursday in the central and northern parts. Warmer weather later in the week will create the potential for freezing rain in central and southern Wisconsin. Tomorrow is primary election day. Voters casting ballots among four candidates for Wisconsin Supreme Court. The two top finishers move on to the April 4th general election. The eventual winner will determine whether conservatives keep the majority on the court or it flips 4-3 to liberal control for at least the next 2 years. The court upheld President Joe Biden's win in Wisconsin in 2020 by just one vote when conservative Brian Hagedorn sided with the liberal justices to confirm President Biden's win. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
With the balance of the Wisconsin Supreme Court at stake, it's more important than ever to cast your ballot for Judge Janet Protasiewicz.
Judge Janet is a former Milwaukee County prosecutor and now circuit court judge who's been a lifelong advocate for victims of crime.
Judge Janet Protasiewicz believes in women's freedom to make our own decisions when it comes to abortion.
And she believes in protecting our communities.
And investing in public safety.
Judge Janet believes in fair elections and protecting our right to vote.
But the Trump-connected MAGA extremists running for Supreme Court want abortion banned in Wisconsin, even in cases of rape, incest, and the health of the mother.
And they could take away our voting rights.
The decisions the Wisconsin Supreme Court make affect us all.
And our future.
So if you want a fair, impartial justice that cares about us and protecting our rights,
protecting our freedoms,
and protecting our neighborhoods,
vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz for Supreme Court.
Paid for by Janet for Justice.
JanetForJustice.com.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at WAUK Radio.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Monday. That's Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, it's about a year for the Ukraine and Russia war. And it hardly seems, you know, I remember when all of these tanks and other things were at the border of Ukraine.
Well, I think a year ago at this time, we were speculating about whether or not Putin would invade.
Right.
He had encircled Ukraine with troops. There had been a period where clearly there could be negotiations. Putin was sending pretty clear signals what he wanted. He wanted the Crimea annexation recognized. He wanted the government of Ukraine essentially modified so that it was not anti-Russian and not so terribly pro-Western. He wanted to make sure that Ukraine didn't become a site for NATO bases and become a member of NATO. And he wanted a disposition of the Donbas region, which was and the Donbas and Crimea had been historically, and by that I mean In the big history of things, prior to 1954, had been part of Russia and had all been part of the Soviet Union. And so, you know, and then 4 days later, and on the 24th, the invasion started. Apparently, Zelensky had stonewalled the negotiations, and Putin decided that he could not tolerate the introduction, for instance, into Ukraine of a military base, whether or not it entered NATO or not. And a fair part of that reaction appears to have come out of something which was, if not a secret, not publicized at all, which was on November 10th of 2021, Blinken, on behalf of the United States, signed a strategic charter agreement. That's what it was called. I had occasion this weekend to read the full text of it. And that agreement looks every way like a treaty. It's the United States announcing that we will protect Ukraine's sovereign. It essentially states that we're there with Ukraine. We've got their back. It worded like a treaty. Treaties are supposed to be ratified by the U.S. Senate. A treaty isn't a treaty unless it's ratified. But we had decided instead to enter into this thing, strategic charter agreement with Ukraine, that wasn't a private document, was something that Putin certainly knew about, and it basically said that we would invite Ukraine's introduction into NATO, and that furthermore we would protect its geography, its sovereignty. It had some interesting, unusual things in it too, things that I can't figure out why we would be interested in. It worries me. Things like the fact that Ukraine agreed to privatize its energy industry, meaning its oil and gas industry. Why did we care about that? The document was curious in my mind, and I think it reflected the fact that the United States has had for a decade now a disproportionate interest in Ukraine and the ongoing dealings in Ukraine. And I fear that if we carried out an investigation, we'd find out that activities in Washington, active lobbying on behalf of the interest in Ukraine, had affected both the Republican and the Democratic parties and had brought Ukraine to the fore in a manner that did not reflect, in fact, the hard interests of the United States, the real politic.
So let me ask you, Sandy. So there's NATO. And NATO, all of these different nations organize together. And they do things collectively. They're not unilateral decisions made by many of the...
Well, NATO has a... You can't enter NATO without every country in NATO agreeing to it. There's a blackball. And everyone knew, Germany was saying privately and other countries were saying, we don't think that we would want Ukraine in NATO because it isn't a matter of our vital national interest.
So let me go back to what you said, that the United States apparently made some kind of agreement with Ukraine without running that past NATO.
Well, I don't know who they ran it past. All I know is they didn't get the U.S. Senate to ratify it. It wasn't the subject of discussion publicly in the United States. It was an agreement with Ukraine, which probably had, in some respects, a precipitating influence on the invasion by Russia, because it increased the level of threat that NATO or NATO-like military activities would occur in Ukraine. And you have to look at the history of this region. I think historians are going to look back 40 and 50 years from now and shake their heads. It will be a sorry history. I think that the neocons that were represented by the likes of Paul Wolfowitz grabbed a hold of U.S. foreign policy at the time of the fall of the Soviet Union. And there is, in fact, intercepted communications by Wolfowitz and others in which the United States was saying privately that its policy was going to be, after the fall of the Soviet Union, that the United States would tamp down and would stamp down any potential rival in the world, and that it was going to be in our interest to have America be dominant across the world. We couldn't really take that position during the period of the Soviet Union because we had this bilateral Cold War situation, and we had to respect the views of Russia and Communist China, because they were powerful nations and we were acceding to it. But since then, we've got this neocon theory that's been prevails to this day, I think, which is that we must flex our muscle and we must demonstrate our might so that we are dominant and there is no competing force in the world, which is an unsustainable objective.
So this is why the American people need to be made aware of what our foreign policy is and our foreign policy objectives. And I know that people may say we don't need to know, but it's critically important that we know, because then we won't wind up in situations like we're in now, where the American people don't even know what's going on.
We're backing our country into a corner. I mean, we can feel like we're backing the rest of the world into a corner with our sort of bully pulpit and our expansive international affairs and our spreading of weapons and power. But what we should recognize that in many respects we're backing ourselves into a corner. It's kind of the same kind of the corner in a much small. The Soviet Union did to itself with Afghanistan, exhausting itself with that foreign adventure. We will quickly exhaust ourselves if we get into full blown foreign adventures with proxy wars against China in Taiwan and Russia in Ukraine. Which could suck the life out of the country. And we better analyze up front why it is we'd be doing it. Because if we're only doing it to maintain mercantile economic dominance, then we should recognize that's an unsustainable objective in the long run.
So, Sandy, unfortunately, the American people don't realize the magnitude. You know, people celebrated the ending of the Cold War. Those of us who had been around a while and live with that threat of nuclear holocaust celebrated and thought that that was coming to an end. Excuse me. But clearly, we're painting ourselves into that kind of a picture.
Well, you know, in a way, the world sort of celebrated. The people of Russia, whose economy absolutely collapsed after perestroika, were not celebrating. But the Russian government, Yeltsin, for instance, came forward and talked about Russia becoming a member of NATO. It was openly discussed and privately discussed. Putin even discussed it briefly after he became the head of the Russian government. There was a period when there could have been kind of a world peace with respect to this and a fully integrated world economy that could have included Russia, which would have included China. China is clearly an integrated part of the world economy. Russia is not as integrated at this point and is more subject to being separated, and the sanctions ever since 2014 have partitioned Russia off. But it wasn't necessarily going to be like this until 2004, when we brought in a whole bunch of parts of the old USSR into NATO, and we began to talk very expansively about NATO, and we began to stonewall Russia with respect to its involvement either in the EU or in NATO. And so we began to treat Russia like an enemy, and they, of course, began to view us then as an enemy.
You know, Sandy, and I remember the celebration when Russia broke up, the USSR broke up, and the fact that we were left as the lone superpower, and that apparently went to the heads of many in this country. And now you look at the danger, the inherent danger that we are in. China has now been kind of forced into a partnership with Russia. We certainly, as the United States of America, are more powerful individually than Russia and China. But if we put Russia and China together, that's a major problem for our nation, again, because people who don't understand this and fail to understand, we only make up 4% of the population. The sheer manpower with Russia and China together, not to mention their military might, that's a major issue. Why would we want to run headlong into that sin?
Well, and
why are we doing that?
Well, and we tell ourselves we do this because of the war between democracy and other forms of government, but we should be examining that more closely. What is the form of government that we find unacceptable that causes us to believe that we ought to risk our treasure and our blood on behalf of the people who are facing that government, when some countries have decided based on their culture and their history to organize themselves in certain fashions, and they probably would not tolerate well organizing themselves in the same fashion that we in America have decided to organize our culture.
So when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. What are your thoughts about the fact that Russia and China appear to be at some point in time looking to join forces, and the fact that we as the United States of America think that we have the power to tell China what they should and cannot do? 844-967-2789. It's Monday. That's Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Suddenly, my quarterback is the number one trending topic. Why, you might ask, is Aaron Rodgers trending on Twitter? He's out this game. He's got COVID-19. And to my perception, he freaking lied to us, man. I'm very frustrated that he is not eligible to play this Sunday, especially when you find out your quarterback is a half a Trumpster. And he claims, I'm not a flat earther, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just play one in the NFL. That pisses me off, man. I was going to bet on that team. Maybe. New time, 3 to 6 p.m. And Dom.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High temperatures reach up to 41 this afternoon under cloudy skies. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Lows around 21. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 31. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Monday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Our phone lines are open. You know, Sandy, and now, it's enough of dealing with Russia. That's, you know, at some point in time, that's going to escalate. And then at the same time, we're thumbing our nose at Taiwan at China, and we want to let them know we're still in charge. What are we in charge of? What is it about our country that we somehow think we're in charge of the world? We're not.
Well, that's why I
it's okay.
Well, that's why I was startled to reread this. There were these leaked information that related to the Paul Wolfowitz and others of the neocon who were hatching a policy which was in fact adopted by the sort of mainstream State Department policies in the United States and our public political foreign affairs, that we were to be the dominant country and we were going to make sure that we had no competitive superpower in the world. We were going to tamp down our competition. And when you listen to it that way, you realize that a lot of that has to do with economic power. And so China has had a new resurgence of economic power to the point where it's clearly on a trajectory to pass our economy at some point. And this has us apparently quaking, number one. Number two, it has us flexing our muscles. And I was saying off the air, I'm trying to find a colloquial that explains what real politic means. And Henry Kissinger's version of real politic was, is it really important enough to you that you're going to be willing to invest your blood and treasure to the hilt over this issue? If it is, then you'll go to the mat about it, you'll flex your muscle about it, and you'll actually do something about it. But the number of issues we have like that and the number of places in the world that we have like that are quite limited, okay? And the colloquially I was using is, you're in a bar, and the guy next to you is drinking Schlitz, and you drink Pabst, and you, as far as you're concerned, anyone who drinks Schlitz is a bad guy. And so you decide to pick a fight with him to try and make him drink your kind of beer. And he's big enough and strong enough, and he's going to break your nose, and possibly you're going to lose some teeth if you get into this. The only reason you'd do it is if you were crazy. It wouldn't make sense. On the other hand, if he's threatening your daughter, you're going to go no matter what. No matter right. his size, scale, you're going to invest everything in it. Well, our foreign affairs should have those kind of measuring rods associated with it. And we should understand that, number one, we are a fortress based on the Atlantic and Pacific. We are not going to be invaded by anyone. So any of our interests that are going to drive us to war are going to involve foreign involvements, and they're going to involve foreign involvements that better be very important to us. And something as for like Taiwan, where we have waffled, where we recognize that Taiwan is fundamentally a part of China, where we've adopted congressional actions that reflect that, where we've refused to recognize them as a nation or even back them having teams in the Olympics, should tell us something about our willingness to invest all of our treasure and blood there, and we should back off from taunting and provoking issues with China over it. Similarly with Ukraine, okay? And we've failed to recognize the interest of these other countries, because you know what? These other countries, they have daughters too, and they are going to worry about the things that are important to them.
All right, Kevin from Waukesha, thank you very much for waiting. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
I have a question concerning the long-term projections over in Ukraine. I don't feel that anybody's addressing this, or else they're keeping it under their hat. The long-term projection of this war, where is it going? You know, we supply them with weapons and ammunition along with a bunch of other countries, and I understand that, you know. But are we going to let Russia just trample this country completely and then take it over? Or is there a line in the sand that we're going to draw and say, okay, you know, you can't destroy this country and just walk over it, you know, because where are they going to go next?
So let me ask you, Kevin, would you be in favor of us going to war with Russia in that case, sending American troops in?
You know, it becomes, yeah, I know what you're saying because, you know, you're putting an awful lot on the table there.
Well,
know,
that's the what's on the table. That,
right now.
Well, but that's what's on the table.
And here, Kevin, is my
problem. I'm beginning to think that we're almost at a point where somebody needs to go in there and push back, per se.
Who is somebody? Who is the somebody? The United States.
Well, I think push it's back kind of the United Nations. I think.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I mean, push back.
I think push the troops back into Russia and say, okay, these are the lines. This is a sovereign country. You need to respect that.
Sandy?
Well, the UN was envisioned, I think, at some point as being that kind of an international policeman, but it hasn't ever exercised that role. And unfortunately, the United States has undertaken it. But, you know, the situation in Ukraine, you know, what would we do if China was installing military bases in Mexico? And Mexico was agreeing that they were going to allow China to have their submarine bases on both the Pacific and Atlantic shores.
We wouldn't allow it.
And they were going to install military bases with missiles in Mexico. What would our reaction to that be? Don't you think we would, number one, pull all this? We would put economic embargoes on Mexico. We would flex every kind of muscle we could imagine to try and make Mexico change its mind. But if they didn't change their mind, what do you think we would do?
All right, we've got to go to a break, Kevin. Thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. We'll be right back.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
CBS News Brief. President Biden pays a surprise visit to Ukraine, where he announced another $500 million worth of military aid.
Just today, that announcement includes artillery ammunition for HIMARS and howitzers, more javelins, anti-armor systems, air surveillance radars to help protect Ukrainian people from aerial bombardments.
The president next heads to Poland to mark 1 year since the Russian invasion of Ukraine began. paying tribute to former President Jimmy Carter as he begins hospice care at his home in Plains, Georgia.
Great man, great president, probably underappreciated by those who don't know much about him.
Jimmy Carter is 98 years old. North Korea state-run television announcing the country has fired two short-range ballistic missiles today. It was the second weapons test in 3 days. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Tomorrow is primary election day in Wisconsin. Voters will narrow a field of four state Supreme Court candidates down to two. There's also a Republican primary for an important state Senate race in the Milwaukee area. The Brewers say they know they have their work cut out for them, getting lawmakers behind their proposed long-term agreement with the state. Governor Evers wants the state to pay for $290 million for upkeep at the Brewers Stadium for 20 years. In return, the team would agree not to leave Milwaukee.
We're looking for what the state and the district obligated itself to do a long time ago when we signed a lease, and nothing more.
That's Rick Schlesinger. He's the Brewers president of business operations. He was on WISN-TV's Upfront program Sunday. In sports, Giannis Antetokounmpo was in New York to get his injured right wrist looked at. The Bucks don't play again until Friday. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh, oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams in the war room. U.S. warnings to China on arms aid for Russia's war portend global rifts. Secretary of State Anthony J. Blinken says Washington has indications that Beijing is strongly considering giving military aid to Moscow for the war in Ukraine. Let me let me ask you, Sandy. So Beijing decides we want to give some weapons to Russia, and now we get into our feelings as the United States, and we say, no, you can't do that. We don't want you to do that. If you do that, you're going to anger us. I'm like, what? Why would China be fearful? A sovereign nation that has its own autonomy. Listen to our nation telling them what to do. I mean, where does that make sense to you?
Well, like I was saying off the air, if we were actually at war with Russia and China decided to form an alliance with Russia and to become a major supplier to Russia, then maybe we would be at war with China too. But we aren't at war with Russia directly. We've, in fact, made it very clear that we aren't at war with Russia. We aren't going to be sending troops to Ukraine or aircraft or the things that would seem to put us at war with Russia. We're simply selling stuff or giving stuff to Ukraine so they can fight a war with Russia. It's called a proxy war. And so China would be, I guess, on the other side of this proxy war. And it might make us feel not as cozy about China, but our ability or our willingness to risk at least national treasure in terms of sanctioning or otherwise creating economic tensions between China and the United States over this is probably nil, okay? And we're going to rattle our swords, but are we going to do something about this? I would guess not. And I would guess China knows not. And I would guess this is a situation a bit more like don't drink Schlitz beer, you know, or I'm going to punch you in the nose kind of a thing, than it is fighting over...
So saber rattling.
It's saber rattling. But the problem with the United States is that we've gotten into this practice of saber rattling in any and all directions, and we've really stopped this neocon form of foreign policy has stopped having us evaluate our real interests. You know, it's true. Russia invaded Ukraine and violated international law in light of doing that. So Russia is, on a legalistic standpoint, a bad guy. The United States, you know, invaded Vietnam. The United States invaded Afghanistan. The United States has, and Iraq. We've been in a variety of wars. We can justify it to ourselves because we can look at our national interest. We don't even look at our national safety as much as we look at our national interest. Our national interest was to do it. Well, guess what? Russia says to itself, our national interest was to do this with Ukraine, and that the Ukraine posed an existential threat to Russia. The threat that Russia would describe to itself with respect to Ukraine was far greater in terms of existentialism than were the threats of Iraq, Afghanistan, Vietnam to the United States. And so, you know, we have to be careful about how we paint people who are aggressors, because the fact is that over the last 80 years, the United States has been quite an aggressive country.
You know, Sandy, it's the Soviet Union, and as we were watching the dismantling of the Soviet Union, you know, I never will forget the fact that Russia was quiet for a while. It was kind of licking its own wounds, and we were clearly testing our wings. You know, we're sending threats to Iran. You can't do this. We're sending threats to major nations that we are telling them what they can and what they cannot do, because we kind of got drunk with power, right? After the USSR collapsed, we really did get drunk with power.
Well, and we conduct black ops all over the world that we don't even know about.
Right.
SEAL teams are busily doing things, and we don't know about most of them, the things they're doing in countries that we are not at war with.
Yemen. Yemen's a prime example.
Yeah, Yemen. And, right. And other areas in the Middle East and Africa where we have been active in a sub rosa kind of a way. Sub rosa meaning covert.
Right.
And so, you know, this is all part of this neocon outlook of America's might and the flexing of American muscle. You know, the neocon theory was America has all this muscle. We ought to be using it. Okay? It's part of the trap that Eisenhower warned about. I watched his valedictory speech again, his last speech as his presidency, when he warned of the dangers of the military-industrial complex and how it might affect our foreign policies, how it might affect the way we treat the world, the way we spend our money, the level of priorities we have in our country. He was very prescient, very, very, he saw the future quite clearly about what was going to happen, and yet no one listened. We still don't listen. And here was a man who was in a very good position to evaluate it. He came from the military, was president for two terms, and was at the very cusp of the post-war transition from wartime military, which we built up from almost nothing that we had before World War II, into a peacetime military that is huge and expensive.
You know, Sandy, the American people really need to understand what is transpiring, where we are, and what we are faced with, and what the future is going to hold if we continue down the path that we are headed down. Now, they may not want to hear what it is that you and I are saying, but clearly we're sounding an alarm for what is on the horizon. And let's do this. CJ, quickly, I don't want to hear about what Joe Biden did. We're talking about where we are right now.
About peace through strength and trust but verify. You maybe don't
those are cliches,
to,
man. Those are nothing. CJ, those are nothing. That's only cliches.
Governor Ron DeSantis. Okay.
That's
Governor
all you're talking
Ron
about.
Ron DeSantis had a speech yesterday that spoke of how we got where we are today. You don't want to hear it.
No, I don't want to hear.
That's fine.
I don't want to hear what Ron DeSantis.
We are where we are. Right, Earl? Who's the president today? You want to talk about...
Hey, CJ, this didn't just happen because of George Bush. Why can't you get that... I mean, because of Joe Biden. Why can't you get that through your head? Sandy and I are talking about decades of different presidents, both Democrats and Republicans, who have brought us to the precipice. And you can't see that because you are caught and blinded by Joe Biden. This is bigger than any Joe Biden.
You say I was blinded by Donald Trump. I'm not. This mere fact that all this happened when I was president, period. You can blame it on Trump, but it didn't happen
didn't
under
you,
Trump.
Didn't you hear me say it's been decades in the making? Can't you? And which includes many
happen,
other presidents.
But it didn't happen.
It was in the process
it
of happening
under this president.
Well, CJ, I'm sure I'm in a minority. I'm sure I'm in a very small minority in this country, and that's what worries me, because we have developed a foreign policy that's like a political third rail. We can't talk about it. We can't talk about what our national interests are or really should be. We can't seem to talk about how we should prioritize the expenditures of the American federal government and prioritize them with all of the various interests of the American people. We don't seem to talk about how it is we evaluate what the America's national interest really is. And you know, I blame the current president at least as much as all the prior presidents for the very, I think, incorrect approach we've taken to world affairs. I believe that our approach has been provocative. I think that we exercised might we had as a result of the accident of the being the only economy standing after World War II, and then being the only military power of international proportion after the fall of the Soviet Union in 1991, until the rebuild that has occurred of Russia and the buildup of China in its economy. But the world is evolving, and the situation today is very much different than the situation was in 1980. In 1980, China was a third world country. In 1980, we had a detente and a Cold War with Russia, and we had Russia that was slowly imploding based on the problems internal to Russia, including corruption and a military expenditure that was unsustainable, the size of their economy. You know, actually, that last ingredient is something that I fear America is putting itself in the place of right now. So, yeah, I'm not really interested in talking about whether Joe Biden or Donald Trump is at fault or was a savior of the current situation. This current situation is the buildup of decades of what I would call stinking thinking.
Well, Earl and Sandy, you had a guest on named Scott Wheeler. Did you watch his documentary?
No, I didn't watch his documentary. Why would I want to watch it?
You should. You should. Because Sandy and him went round and around. The problem is, Sandy, China believes we're in a Cold War. The problem is Russia believes this president is weak and moved on Ukraine. So it didn't happen under a prior president. You can all of a sudden say, well, this was years and presidents in the making, but Putin didn't move on other presidents. He moved after the failures in Afghanistan, and you want to keep saying that.
So, CJ, we don't need to be repetitive every day with you on the same thing again. When NATO, as Sandy explained, decided to put a ring around Russia, which is basically what we're talking about. That's what this is about. And if you don't understand that, then, you know, if you think this is clearly about Democrat and Republican, then, you know, maybe you and I should, and Sandy should stop having the dialogue and the conversation about it, because people get frustrated with hearing the same thing in the same conversation all of the time. We are beyond that. Joe Biden, Donald Trump foolishness. This is bigger than that, man. Don't you understand that? This is bigger than just pointing the finger at, well, he was weak. Joe Biden is weak. It's a much, much bigger.
Well, actually, I would say that the whole concept of the military might of America keeping the peace in the world is part of the mistake. And, you know, we need to have our military might to use for the real interests of America. But the idea that we can police the world in all of its parts is for all kinds of indignities and problems goes beyond our capacity.
All right, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Jim Santel for just a few more minutes. As you point out, this is a civil trial, not a criminal trial. You think that the Trump org will end up with the death penalty under New York law.
Letitia James, she's doing the civil case, right? This is a criminal matter.
Oh, it is. So I misunderstood.
It is, yes.
Normally, so, I leave the being wrong to Dom.
Right?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies this afternoon with a high of 41. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 21. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 31. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
I'm gonna make a mind if it takes all night. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number as Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy. And you know, Sandy, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man, that, you know, that I can't come in and talk about what's the best apple pie recipe. That's just not important to me. And what is important is if the American people can't sense that we're in a perilous time, just because they don't want to hear it or don't feel like hearing it doesn't mean that we're not there. Right? I mean,
No, absolutely. And you know, the fact is that America, just, we treat military excursions like adventures. And, you know, they used to call them that under the Teddy Roosevelt period. They were military adventures. And the fact is that the next war, that if we ever get involved in a real war, the next war with someone who is our match from the standpoint of technical capacity and military capacity, we'll find out what it feels like. We'll experience war on our shores. For instance, our infrastructure. You know, if we end up fighting a war that takes the war to Russia, we can expect to find our electric infrastructure in the United States under direct assault. There'll be all forms of cyber warfare that could incapacitate us. And we don't have to have troops on the ground in the United States to experience warfare in quite an awful manner. And if we do end up with troops, which is obviously a logistical nightmare for anyone, but in today's world, you know, it's not just balloons that China has the capacity, right? And so, you know, we ought to be far more careful about, number one, how we flex our muscle, who we provoke, who we identify as our enemy, so that, you know, we don't go to war over what kind of beer they drink. And I'm not saying that the Ukrainian invasion is that trivial, but what is something we should have recognized is that we were provoking a situation in Ukraine, much like we would be provoked if a similar situation was being carried out in Mexico.
Let's go to Stephen in Green Bay. Hey, good morning, Stephen. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. I was just listening to CJ's input on the whole Ukraine thing, and I've heard him on this program and others make comments similar to the one he made today about, you know, it's Biden's fault. And I think if that's your dialogue on the situation, you're really missing the bigger picture. To say that Russia was not planning on doing something like this for a while, I think is just ignorance. And I don't really think that Russia was sitting back and saying, oh, well, Joe Biden's president of the United States, so now I'm going to go attack Ukraine. I mean, a lot of people think like CJ does, unfortunately, but I just don't think it's based in reality.
Hey, Stephen, man, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. You know, Sandy, again, we don't know what it's like to have our cities bombed. And we pray that we never do, right? But if there was ever a time that you don't want to be at war, it's in 2023 when the weaponry is absolutely, you know, the kind of weapons that would just completely wipe out cities. That's what we're talking about. Why would you want to even think about getting engaged in something like that?
Well, it doesn't take a nuclear weapon to wipe out cities. You can look at Bakhmut. You can. The problem I see is that we stood by and the situation arose, which ended up involving the invasion of Ukraine. That the complexity of why that happened is far more complicated than just a good guy, bad guy scenario, and it involved a 30-year history following the breakup of the Soviet Union and a series of dealings between NATO, the United States, Russia, and that region, and in particular some of the idiosyncrasies and oddities of Ukraine, including its extreme corruption. So my problem is that post hoc, we can look at this and say there's a good guy and there's a bad guy. Well, Russia did violate international law by invading Ukraine, and now it's easy to look at David versus Goliath and look at it in that context. But the United States needs to be very careful about, one, the situations that we might participate in provoking, and number two, what we do about the situation once it occurs. Because there can be little question that our conduct with respect to Taiwan is provocative vis-a-vis China. And I don't think anyone in our Congress or any of the listening audience wouldn't agree that the United States' conduct about Taiwan is intended to wave a bit of a red flag at China and say, don't you dare do anything with Taiwan, even though we all know that China asserts and the world basically recognizes that Taiwan is a part of China.
You know, Sandy, as a young boy, one of my favorite actors was John Wayne.
Oh.
And he wasn't real, right?
No, he wasn't even in the Army.
Okay,
he avoided the military during World War II and then made macho war movies almost every decade after that, True Grit.
So John Wayne was not real. So we fell in love with that John Wayne type of reality. And he gave, and so for the United States, like you said, all Army movies, all those other movies, it was that tough guy, John Wayne. That's not what we need. Not today. We need to be as far away from that kind of thinking as anything can be, Sandy. Diplomacy. Whatever happened to diplomacy?
Yeah, well, real diplomacy and diplomacy that, you know, unfortunately, the United States needs to be very pragmatic in its approach to the world, and it should not be either bombastic, and we shouldn't have a grandiose view of ourselves that is no longer reflective of the reality in the world. The notion that we can stop China from becoming our economic equivalent is the equivalent of throwing our body in front of a freight train and telling it to stop. China is on a trajectory to be our economic equivalent. And we better figure out how we're going to deal with that. And the way we shouldn't try to deal with
it is militarily.
Is militarily.
Yeah. All right, well said, Sandy. Thank you very much, my friend. I don't know what happened to the time. Gotta go. We'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
Ooh, it's a groovy situation and a splendid combination. You're something that.
Pacific Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day million-dollar advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.